Will you turn with me, please, in the Word of God for a short time this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And I want to commence to read at the 28th verse. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 28. Let us now hear the Word of God. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man spake. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word for Christ's sake. The verses before us this morning contain a very remarkable passage in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. They describe his public entry into the city of Jerusalem when he visited that city for the last time. The dark shadows of the cross were swiftly falling across his path. In a few days' time, he will be nailed to an old rugged cross. Soon he would die for the sins of his people. Soon he would finish the work the Father had given him to do in eternity. But not just yet. First he must enter the city of Jerusalem in triumph, so as to give the nation one last opportunity to accept or reject him as their Messiah. Now, this great event took place on what is commonly known as Palm Sunday. And what we have before us this morning is a scene of triumph that ended in tragedy. A scene of celebration that ended in crucifixion. The words of the saints, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, gave way to the words of the sinners. Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. Now, in order to fulfill a 450-year-old prophecy, it says he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. He was going to enter into the city of Jerusalem riding on a colt. Kings went to war on horses. Men of peace rode upon mules or rode upon asses. So the Lord Jesus Christ was not entering into the city of Jerusalem as a warrior. He was riding into Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace. And he was riding into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass. Now, the lowly donkey is mentioned more than 140 times in Scripture. And the first mention is in connection with Abraham, who, when told by God to go to Mount Moriah to offer his well-beloved son Isaac as a sacrifice, immediately saddled his beast and prepared for the journey. Then there was the donkey of the Good Samaritan. And what about Balaam's donkey, which rebuked the prophet? But surely the donkey that heads the list is the one mentioned in the Gospels, the one that helped the Lord Jesus Christ fulfill an ancient prophecy given by Zechariah in chapter 9 of his book, in verse 9, about 450 years before the event took place. Now, the story before us is a most instructive story, both for unbelievers and for those who profess the Savior's name. And there are things worth noting about this colt that the Lord Jesus Christ used on this particular occasion. The first thing we notice is this, that the colt had to be redeemed. The law of Moses pronounced the ass to be an unclean animal. Leviticus chapter 11 verse 26 states, "The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. If it did not chew the cud, and if it did not have a cloven hoof, it was declared to be unclean in the sight of the law of Moses." And the law demanded that any firstborn donkey should be put to death. The command was very clear, "Thou shalt break his neck." But the law also made a provision for the condemned beast to be redeemed, because a lamb could die in its stead. It could live because a substitute could take its place. Now, over in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, we read of this. For it says, "Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem." And the very fact that this colt was alive proves that it had been redeemed. And the significance of this cannot be missed if we observe the connection. In Exodus chapter 12, we have the story of the Exodus, the story of how the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage by exercising faith in the blood of the lamb. Therefore, because the lamb took the place of the firstborn among the children of Israel, the firstborn was able to go free. And then here in Exodus chapter 13, it is the redemption of the firstling of an ass. And in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2, they are joined together. For God says, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, both of man and of beast, it is mine." The firstborn among the children of Israel had to be consecrated to the Lord because their lives had been saved when the death angel visited the land of Egypt. All the Egyptian firstborn sons were slain by the avenging angel, but the firstborn, the sons of the children of Israel, were saved because the blood of the lamb had been applied to their doors by faith. And when the death angel came and looked upon the blood that had been applied there, then the death angel passed over, and those trusting in the blood were saved and spared. And that's the reason why the firstborn sons had to be consecrated unto the Lord in gratitude for what the Lord had done for them. There's no mistaking what is in view here. God gave orders that the firstling of an ass was to be redeemed with a lamb, just the way the firstborn of Israel had to be redeemed with a lamb on the Passover night. So it was a night never to be forgotten. And when the death angel visited Egypt that night, all those trusting in the blood of sacrifice were saved. But all those who were not trusting in that blood that points us to the sacrifice of Christ and the blood of Christ were cut off, and they died in their sin, and they were lost. What a tragedy that was. And according to what we learn the ass was to have its neck broken unless redeemed, just the way the Israelites would have been smitten by the death angel unless they had the blood of the slain lamb sprinkled upon their homes. The conclusion is unmistakable. God here compares a natural man with the ass, and the application is to us. The ass is an accurate portrayal of sinners, unclean, senseless, fit only to have their necks broken by way of condemnation. For like that donkey of old, we need to be redeemed. We are born unclean, condemned by the law of God, and sentenced to death, because the Bible makes it abundantly clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We are all born the same way. Each and every one of us gathered here has been born the same way. We have been born a sinner in the sight of God. Unless we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will be lost to all of God's eternity and remain in that way forever and ever. Such is man by nature, conceived in sin, born in sin. How accurately then does the ass picture the natural man? It is a most senseless creature, so is natural man. If our gospel be hid, says the apostle, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, referring to the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's why men cannot understand the gospel, because their minds have been blinded to this truth by the god of this world. The ass is also stubborn, often harder than a mule to move. So also is the natural man. Sinners by nature are rebellious and defiant. That's the way I was in my unconverted days. I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want anyone preaching to me. I didn't want to be told that I was a sinner in the sight of God, that if I died in my sin, I would be lost to all of God's eternity. I didn't want to hear that. I was rebellious. I was defiant. The sinner naturally will not come to Christ to trust in him that he may have life. And that is why the Holy Spirit in the Bible compares man to an ass. Man is born like a wild ass's colt, says Job 11 and verse 12. But the message of the Bible and the message of this season of the year is this: a lamb has died so that we may go free. And how grateful we ought to be that the Lord Jesus Christ took our place, that he died that we might live. And now we live because of him who interposed his life's blood. For when he died on the cross, his life's blood was poured out. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So when Christ's blood was shed, he was pouring out his life for sinners, because he loves sinners. And there's no comparing the love of Christ. It's unique. It's special. It's spectacular. And when Christ was led out that morning early to go to Golgotha, he was manifesting the love of God for sinners. And when he bore his cross to that appointed place, and when he was impaled and nailed to the cross, he was manifesting the love of God. And when he hung there in nakedness and in shame, he was demonstrating to the world the love of God for sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And thank God, when he went to the cross, he interposed his blood on behalf of his people to pay their ransom, to pay their debt, so that they would be saved from condemnation and from wrath. And so while the Word of God paints man in a very bleak and dark picture in his natural state, the message of the gospel is good news. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, became the substitute for sinners. And by faith in him and through his precious blood, we can live, because a lamb was found in the person of Jesus Christ. Redemption means to set free from the slavery of sin by the payment of a ransom price. But the purchase price is beyond anything we could afford. This is why Peter says, we're not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot buy our way to heaven. We receive it as the gift of God, because Christ paid the ransom price by the shedding of his blood upon the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in His Word that His death is the means by which we are set free from condemnation. And we can live today because a lamb died. The colt had to be redeemed. But then in the second place, the colt had to be released. Ye shall find a colt tied, Jesus told His disciples. And He knew exactly where it was to be found. He told them, it will be found in the village over against you. And when you find a colt, loose him and bring him hither. And it is this feature that is emphasized in the divine record. And the most salient feature of any sinner is his bondage. You see the colt standing there? It was bound. It could not move in this direction or move in that direction. It couldn't make its way to the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to be sought out, it had to be released, and it had to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in order for Him to use it. Sin fetters men. Sin enslaves men. Sin renders men incapable of any movement towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I was hard and rebellious in my sin until one day the glorious truth of the gospel dawned upon my heart. I had been taught in Sunday school. I had been taught in church the way of salvation. I knew the stories. But I was in nature's darkness. I was bound in sin. And then one day the good news came. And I could see it. I was able to grasp it for the first time. And I realized that Jesus Christ had died for me. And that brought me to an end of myself. I was broken that night. I began to cry. I felt the sinfulness of my sin. And I began to look to Christ alone for mercy. And I cried the sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I couldn't see it before that point of time. And the Lord savingly applied that truth and that message to my heart. I was able to see it. And that night I repented of my sins and I believed the gospel. The colt had life thanks to the lamb, but it did not have that liberty. The colt may have stood alongside that post to which it was tied and dreamed about being free. The grass on the hills looked so green and the brook down the hill looked so refreshing. Other animals seemed to be roaming about at will. But he was tied to a post. It was set free by the word of Christ, by means of his authority. The Lord's message to the disciples, loose him and bring him to me. And the application is to us. The work of redemption, you see, was twofold. There was the ransom that was paid, and then there was the release that was procured. Now, that word ransom is familiar to us when we read of someone who has been kidnapped and a ransom price is demanded to set that person free. And once the payment has been made, then the release takes place. In other words, the ransom secures the release. And Jesus Christ tells us He came to give His life a ransom for many. Many sinners for whom the atonement has been made are still bound by sin. They need to hear what? They need to hear the word of Christ. What is the word of Christ? Loose him and bring him to me. And the gospel is a message that liberates those who are bound in sin, those who are fettered by the power of darkness. The gospel is good news. It emancipates, it sets free. Because the good news tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven's glory. That He lived a holy and spotless life. He pleased God in all things for His people. And then at the appointed time He died an atoning death on Calvary's cross. That's the good news. That's the message that liberates sinners. That's the message that sets sinners free. It's a message of hope. It's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of salvation. Freely received from God through Christ, because Christ alone paid the ransom price on Calvary's cross, and the ransom price was His own precious blood. And it is through faith in Christ and His work that I am made a child of God, that I am forgiven for all my sins, that God makes me acceptable in His sight through Christ and gives to me a perfect standing. How grateful that colt must have been when the disciples released it. He probably kicked up his heels. He was free. You'll note that the colt was at a distance from Christ and unable to come to Him. No man can come to Christ except the Father draw him. And that is why the Lord sent someone to bring the colt. In the Old Testament, we have the beautiful story of Abraham and the son Isaac and the servant that Abraham used to go into a distant country to find a wife for his son Isaac. And these were historical characters, but these individuals typify and represent different things. Abraham as a loving father represents and points us to God the Father, who is a loving and gracious Father. Isaac, his son, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Mount Moriah to offer himself as a sacrifice. And then the servant represents and typifies the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is sent out into the world to find a bride for Jesus Christ. So here we see the Lord Jesus Christ sending the disciples, go and find this colt. I will use this colt. This is a redeemed colt. It's got to be released. Go and find the colt. And we have here a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who has been sent out into the world to find the people for whom Christ died and made an atonement for on the cross of Calvary. And Christ's command was, loose him and bring him hither. And the colt needed to be released, and it needed to be brought to him. And the disciples represent also the church, whose responsibility it is to bring sinners to Christ by preaching the glorious gospel of grace. That's why God has sent me here, to preach the message to you, that in hearing these good tidings, you may be liberated and set free from your sin, because a ransom price has been paid. And it is the will of God for his people to be set free from their bondage through the preaching of the word of God. And the disciples quickly untied the rope that bound the colt, and then they led that colt to Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The fetters of sin that bind a sinner can likewise be broken, and that sinner brought to Jesus Christ. Now we're told that the colt was tied outside a door, according to Mark 11 verse 4, and its halter prevented it from entering through the door into the owner's property. How like man this is. Because man is shut out of heaven, out of the Father's house, because of sin. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, except the man be born again, he cannot see, or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Although created by God, sin has robbed man of the right to enter into his Creator's dominion. The colt also was found in a very significant place, where two ways met. Mark 11 verse 4. Only one of those ways led to Christ. There's only one way to God, and that one way is Jesus Christ. And how often does a man find himself in a similar situation? He comes to a place in his life where two ways meet. One way will lead to heaven, the other way will lead to hell. And Christ is the answer, because he has said in his word, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. On Calvary's cross, we gaze upon the bleeding Saviour. On his right hand, there is a thief who's dying for crimes committed. On the other side, another thief who's dying for crimes that he has committed. One hardens his heart and rebels and dies and goes to hell. He's lost. The other repents in his dying moment and turns to Christ in faith. And Jesus says, when you die, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, these two men represent two ways. One of the thieves took the right way. He turned in the right direction. The other man died in the sin. And according to what the Bible says, and we always go by what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Judas, according to the Bible, the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, went to his own place. And his own place is identified in the word as hell. He lost the soul because he turned his back on Christ and died in the sin. But the dying thief who repented turned to Jesus Christ in his dying moments. He repented and believed. And when he came to die, thank God, the moment he closed his eyes, he went to be with Christ in heaven. That's the hope of the gospel. To be absent from the body and present with Christ. Christ is the answer. He's the only way. The colt had to be redeemed, the colt had to be released, and finally, the colt had to be ruled. Now, this colt was a colt upon which never man sat, and there appears to be something very strange and something very mysterious about this statement. It was an unbroken colt. Its mouth had never been held in with bit and bridle. Do you see that? It had not learned to submit to man. It had never performed any service for man. How like man, full of the pride of life and self-will. He does not submit to the will of God. He never performs any useful service for God. But the Lord had not set the colt free to please itself. The colt had been set free to serve him. And that's why Jesus said, "Bring him hither to me. I have need of him. I'm going to use this colt that has been redeemed and this colt that has been released. I'm going to use it." And then a wonderful thing happened. The master enthroned himself upon the colt as the Lord of its life. All rebellion fled. All fear vanished and disappeared. And the colt was transformed from a wild, untamed creature into an obedient, submissive instrument of the master's will. That was truly amazing. An unbroken colt can become a nightmare to any rider. Its arching back, its twisting, rebellious body, and then its kicking feet can present many problems. And an inexperienced rider is likely to land in the dust. And by the way, throughout the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus walked from place to place. This was the first occurrence where he rode. And the privilege of carrying him was given to a donkey, or a colt on which never man sat. Skilled in the art of breaking and training animals, cowboys can tame such beasts, but even they have to conquer their unruly steeds. It is significant that the lonely donkey never rebelled. He never even put up a fight. Isn't that amazing? It was completely brought under Christ's control and immediately submitted to him and to his will. Thus does the sinner, loose from sin's bondage, set free by the grace of God through his matchless grace, that man or that woman becomes a willing subject of the great king. Saul of Tarsus was a very religious man, and he thought he was doing God's service by persecuting the Christians. Until one day on the Damascus Road he had a life-changing experience, and he was born of God, he met his God, and the first thing he said to him was, "What wilt thou have me to do?" The moment he had been changed by the grace of God, he was brought to that place of submission, and he said, "What wilt thou have me to do? I'm here at your disposal." We are made new creatures in Jesus Christ. All things pass away, all things become new, and we, like the colt, are brought under the control of Christ. And that colt was brought into the place of total submission. Now, previous to this, the colt had never carried out any useful task. But now, subdued by Christ, it performed a unique service for the Master. It carried him in triumph into Jerusalem. It did not take its own course, but it went wherever he directed it to go. Do you see that? The colt is now being ruled by Christ. It has been subdued by him. It is brought under his control. And it takes no longer its own course, but goes as he directs it. Now, colts by nature are very nervous creatures and easily frightened. But this colt carried Christ into the city of Jerusalem in the midst of a tumultuous, cheering crowd. And its only duty now was to lift up the Saviour for all the people of Jerusalem to see. We have been saved by the grace of God. We have been totally subdued by his mighty power. And our only service in life is to lift up Christ, to make much of him, so that others will see him as the Saviour of sinners. And as a result of that, the people saw Christ and shouted his praise. All eyes were on Christ, not on the colt. And that, of course, is the way it ought to be. And that's why John said, "I must decrease, he must increase." And then one final thing. You will notice that the colt was associated with Christ in his moment of glory and acclamation. And the Bible teaches us that those who come to Christ, who submit to him, will one day share in his eternal glory. And in that day of acclamation, all the saints will be at his side when the saints go marching into glory. Christ will be there in his risen fullness and glory, and every child of God subdued to him by the grace of God will be there present with him. And for all of God's great eternity, they will manifest his glory in heaven. And as we have already mentioned, the colt had a place in God's plan, a place decreed from all eternity. And every believer has a place in the plan of God. We are chosen in him before the foundation of the world to glorify God, to bring praise to him. And when we have been saved by the grace of God, our only aim and objective will be to lift up Christ and to show him off to a world of sinners, that they too may come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. The colt was redeemed, the colt was released, and the colt was ruled. These things are applicable to us. Could I ask you the question in closing? Have you been redeemed? Have you been released from the bondage of sin? And are you being ruled by Christ the Conqueror? Have you submitted yourself to him? If not, I point you to him, the one who died on Calvary's cross, the one who shed his life's blood to redeem his people from their sins. I point you to him as the only hope, as the only way, as the only Savior for sinners. Look to him by faith today. You may not fully understand the whole way and method of salvation clearly. You may not know anything about doctrine. You may be here in your ignorance. All you need to know is this, that you're a sinner, and that Christ died for sinners, and that if you repent of your sins and believe the gospel, he will save you. For he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's so simple. Will you believe today? Will you repent and come to him just as you are, and receive from him the gift of salvation that he died on Calvary's cross to purchase for his people? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look to him, come to him, believe in him, trust in him, and leave the house of God this day changed by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's the message. That's the good news. And you can leave church today saved by his grace, washed in his blood, prepared for God's great eternity. And I trust that you will leave the house of God rejoicing in the forgiveness of sins and in having peace with God through Christ on Calvary's cross. Let's bow for prayer.